Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Thursday, October the 23rd. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Ray's in Kansas City. Ray Pritchard, Ray's with us most Tuesdays and Thursdays. And now Steve Paisley-Jordahl takes Chris Woodward's seat here in our studio here in Tupelo.
Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey.
Steve Paisley-Jordahl, rocking this Paisley.
I do. I have the red, white, and blue Paisley on today.
If people want to send you Paisley products or shirts or
oh my gosh,
how can they do that? Just send it to
you can send it to Tim and Tim will give it to me during the show.
We're just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Steve buys
plenty.
Yeah, Steve buys his own clothes, people. You don't have to do
or
that.
Or sometimes my wife buys them for me.
Oh, does she?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
I wanted to fill in some holes here just so that people on this missionary thing, so people could pray effectively. You guys covered it well, but the missionary's name is Kevin Rideout.
Okay.
And he'd been with what is now called Serving in Mission International, which was, as Ray said, the Sudan Interior Missions for 15 years. It's almost certainly a Muslim group that has kidnapped him. They haven't named them yet. One of the last times they kidnapped somebody, they held him for 6 years, five of those chained to a tree. So it's likely that things are really going poorly for Kevin Rideout. So please, if you're praying, that's who you should pray for. Kevin Rideout is his name.
Uh-huh. And Ray, is this the mission sending agency you're familiar with?
Yeah, and I mean, I have known SIM missionaries for many years. They have a wonderful missionary home for their retired folks down in Sebring, Florida. And I've been down there on two different occasions. Some of the strongest and most valiant people, Christians, heroic Christian missionaries with SIM, taking the gospel for over 100 years into some pretty tough places around the world.
Yeah.
All right. Any more news that you know of about this breaking story about gambling in the NBA?
I've been spending the last hour prepping for this half hour, so I haven't been very focused on it. I know that you guys covered it well. I don't have anything.
It's a big story. Yeah. I don't know any more maybe than what we knew an hour ago, but it's big enough for the FBI director, Kash Patel, to have a press conference. Is he in New York City today?
In New York. Yes.
And he's announcing the lead headline for this story says, and this is talking about gambling and the NBA, Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups, Miami Heat, that's a team in Miami, NBA team, guard Terry Rozier, and former NBA guard and coach Damon Jones were among the more than two dozen arrested as part of a widespread FBI investigation on Thursday. The federal investigation involved multiple agencies and the NYPD as they targeted the La Casa Nostra crime families.
That would be the mafia.
Okay. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
Officials said that Billups, Rozier, and Jones faced charges of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how much it's yet to be told how much of this involves the accusation of throwing games.
Well, I did hear one accusation was of one of the stars, and I don't remember who it was. Maybe Rozier, but people bet on over and under how many points he would score in a game and how many rebounds he would have.
How many he would personally? Got you.
Right.
He could control that.
And he took himself out of the game with a very spurious ankle injury at one point way before he made any of those numbers, making some people. So that's what they're saying. And I know one of the commentators on Fox, when they were having this press conference, was noting, one of the legal commentators, how many people were lined up behind Kash Patel. There's a lot of agencies. The federal government is taking this very seriously.
Okay.
I think when they got into bed with the sports industry now is all in on the gambling industry. For a while, you know, during the Pete Rose era, you couldn't even say the word gambling. It was like ivermectin. But now you'll hear the football people talking. They have euphemisms. Well, that field goal was good, which will make certain people very happy, you know.
Yeah. Cover the line and all that.
Yeah, they're all into, and you see ads all the time now in sporting events for these gambling concerns.
All right, next story.
All right. NASA has quietly deployed planetary defense tools after an interstellar visitor showed up with some odd behaviors. This is a comet that they've dubbed 31/Atlas. And it is from a outside of our solar system. From its trajectory and speed, the astronomers tell us it has one pass. It's not like Halley that'll come back every 80 years. It's one and done with this one. Or is it? Because the done part is what some of these scientists are having questions about. It has some unusual characteristics. The shape of this, it's oblong, kind of almost rectangular. It's huge, some 33 billion tons. Its tail was pointing the wrong way at some point.
What's the wrong way in outer space?
Well, a tail points away from the sun. The solar winds blow the debris off of the comet, and it spreads the tail out opposite the sun. Well,
you know your stuff, don't you, Steve?
I told you I spent the last half hour getting ready.
You paid attention. All right, let's just simplify this thing, Ray. I want you to talk about, we have a comet that's out there by the sun.
It has just disappeared behind the sun from our perspective.
And it's rectangular in size. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the UFO folks think, maybe that's a spaceship of some kind.
That's what the mothership is, what someone called it. Yeah.
Mothership. Yeah.
But it did go in reverse. Is that right?
Well, they didn't see it. I heard that, and I looked for it when I was looking.
Ray, go ahead. Comment on this.
Well, the article, Tim, that you sent around uses the phrase, the supposed comet. I thought, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They don't just call it a comet, the supposed comet, meaning it has some characteristics that are not consistent with, say, Halley's Comet and all the others that we know about. It has characteristics that are consistent with, quote, a mothership, an interstellar vehicle from somewhere, manned. We don't know that. We're just presuming manned by somebody or something sent from somewhere. And I was just fascinated to read the article, Tim, that said that they're activating, quote, the planetary defense system. And the minute I hear that, planetary defense system, I'm thinking, I remember the movie Independence Day with Will Smith, you know?
Yeah.
And who was that actor who flew back up into that thing and he said, "Hello, boys."
Oh, that was
"Hello, boys, I'm back."
Yeah, that was the brother of another known actor here. I can't remember that. The movie that I'm thinking about, though, is the one with who's the guy, the actor that just got dementia that they've been, Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
And right. Bruce Willis,
Die Hard. Die Hard
one.
Goes to Outer Space.
Yeah, but there's another one. This is the one, that's the one where they launched a nuclear weapon at the comet.
They had to go up in a spaceship, land on this meteor that was headed towards the Earth.
No, that wasn't Die Hard. That was some other movie.
Yeah, and they had to dig a hole to put the nuclear weapon
in. I remember that movie. What was that movie? It was about 5 years ago, right?
There's been several movies
But we're not joking, folks, about that was a story that what had been unleashed here?
Well, they're calling it the planetary defense, deploys planetary
NASA
defense
NASA made this
tools.
Announcement?
NASA has said that they have quietly, or reporters reporting on NASA, the International Asteroid Warning Network. Now, what this article you sent out says is right, NASA's right. not launching rockets to defend the planet, like the movie, like Hollywood did.
Not yet.
No, it's treating it like more like a tip-sharing exercise for stargazers everywhere to take better pictures. So I guess what they're saying is if it's coming, they can't stop it, but we'll know a lot more about it before we get hit.
But what's the effort called to resist? I don't know how to describe this. What's it called that NASA said we've turned on something that we don't normally turn on unless something is a threat to our planet.
The rest of us didn't even know. Yeah.
I know, right, Ray? Right. What's the name of it, Steve?
Well, all I've read here anyway is this planetary defense tool. I don't see a name.
Do you know anything more?
Zero. Because I don't think they've ever talked about this publicly before.
Okay.
So, sure, they're sharing tips, but
I don't know how it operates.
If this thing comes, let's say it slingshots out from around the sun, it's going to, they say in December, it's going to come close to the Earth. So we'll get a lot better pictures of it.
It's moving then.
Yeah.
It's moving on. It's traveling pretty fast.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's your daily UFO update brought to you here by today's issues.
We're just passing along the information.
That's right.
Friends. That's all we do.
Our planetary protection forces have been engaged.
Yeah. Okay. So I just brought up a list of the movies about incoming comets. So this is what we've been trying. Deep Impact was the one with about them.
Landing on the comet.
Bruce Willis.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, there was Bruce Willis. Okay.
Armageddon. That was the Bruce Willis one. NASA recruits oil drillers to destroy an incoming asteroid.
Bruce Willis didn't do two of those.
No. Oil
drillers.
Yeah.
What?
Oil drilling
Impact
team.
Impact was another one. So there have been
Independence Day, that was when the comet hit the U.S., or hit the world, hit the planet.
Space Cowboys.
That was a Russian satellite.
No,
Space Cowboys. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Space Cowboys was the one with Bruce Willis.
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, some people call me a space cowboy.
Now we're getting back into the music.
That's right.
All right. Back over to you, Steve, for our next news story.
Right. So the Department of Homeland Security has been doing an investigation, and they're troubled because what they're finding out, and they're confirming that FEMA, during the hurricane that hit Western North Carolina.
Yeah, it hit Florida first, and then Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and then South Carolina, North Carolina.
Right, and it parked over and made all of that flooding. And there were rumors that the FEMA people were looking and being political. They weren't going to help houses that had Trump signs. Oh, no, that couldn't be. Well, DHS has uncovered the fact it is. This is from their statement. An internal investigation by the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency found that throughout the Biden administration, FEMA employees systematically refused to visit the homes of disaster survivors that displayed signs and flags they disagreed with, including those campaign signs from President Trump. Said DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, for years, FEMA employees under the Biden administration intentionally delayed much-needed aid to Americans suffering from natural disasters on purely political grounds.
I'm not shocked.
Yeah, I'm angry, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not shocked because we know what it was like during those 4 years of Joe Biden. He had a Justice Department.
Oh, yeah.
That was weaponized not only against Trump, but against conservatives in general, pro-life people.
Yes.
I mean, all of that happened blatantly.
Yeah. These were – the Biden White House was – and the administration was full of left-wing activists.
Yeah.
Hardcore left-wing activists. They took advantage of Biden being mentally disabled, mentally challenged. We all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
slowing down. He lost his fastball.
Yeah. He didn't have the capacity to manage day-to-day activities in, of the White House and the administration. He just got up every morning and read whatever they gave him and had the auto pen. We all know that now. Well, because Biden, during his career, while yet he was a Democrat, while yes, he was a Democrat and he would have been considered liberal, he wasn't a wackadoodle, a hardcore woke leftist, okay, in his career, over his career time. He was basically a traditional liberal Democrat. But he when he got into the White House and he didn't have the ability to manage it, these people took over and they hired people who thought like them. And then you end up with FEMA having somebody saying, don't go help those people because in North Carolina, because they have a Trump sign outside their house.
That's what he's saying.
And I remember this being validated and verified 2 years ago, Steve.
Well, they're investigating it. They have put an investigation together. So they're issuing statements.
FEMA is supposed to be there to help people. It doesn't matter their political stripe.
Yeah.
Okay. You should, and that's what the argument was, that Biden's FEMA agency under the Department of Homeland Security was denying people assistance because of their were identified as Republican or Trump supporters.
I think Biden's character, he wasn't, some people do say he was the most left-wing, he just hit it well, of a president. But what I think he's going to be remembered for in any kind of a unbiased history is using the office, all his political offices for self-gain. He made so much money and he had all these schemes with Hunter and collecting money for the family. He was the big guy throughout his whole career. A lot of people will charge.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Archaeologists have uncovered a vast complex of ancient tombs in Colossae. This is the town that Paul used, the target of his letter to the Colossians. And what they found, these were tombs that were some 2,200 years old. Some of them predated the time of the Apostle Paul and the church. They found not only the tombs, but they found different like terracotta ceramics, glass bottles, oil lamps, candles, and coins.
Is that in Greece? Where is that?
I think it's in, isn't it, Turkey?
Where is that? Do you know where that modern?
Asia
Colossae?
Where was that?
It's in modern-day Turkey.
Okay, Turkey.
Okay. Yeah, in the Aegean region. One of the things they're saying, overall, the discovery suggests that the inhabitants of Colossae held strong spiritual beliefs even before Paul's letter was written. And I don't know, Ray, do you... Is there a theme throughout Colossians of him more correcting or he didn't have to lay a lot of groundwork about this is what faith in God is? Did he? What was the theme of Colossians?
Well, the danger in the church at Colossae was they were losing, if you want, I'm using it metaphorically speaking, we think of Christ, the head of the church. They had inherited from the pagan culture around them some aberrational views that were causing them to turn away from Christ as the one true Son of God, fully God and fully man. Which is why in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Which means when you see Jesus, you're seeing all of God that any man can ever see. That all the power, all the glory, and all the greatness. Because it's easy. I mean, even in our world, it's easy to think God's up there and Jesus is like his representative. No. That's not, strictly speaking, not correct. Jesus represents God because Jesus is God.
That's right.
He's the very exact impression of his reality. The essence of who God is in Jesus Christ. So when you see Jesus, you are seeing God himself.
Well, Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
That's what he said. I mean, he made the claim himself. And so in that character of Jesus, we're seeing the character of God the Father. And it's You know, the story, going back to the reason we're doing this story, archaeology, it's almost a tired headline. Archaeology approves that the Bible is true, what they're finding. You know, that there was a culture there that backs up what the Bible talks about.
You know what you've never heard, Fred?
Mm.
Archaeology disproves something in the Bible.
Yeah.
I've never seen that headline.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I've done these stories on archaeology for years now, and every time I talk to a professor of archaeology at a seminar or everything, they are very quick to say, we don't need archaeology to prove the Bible. It stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's good when it's nice. It's fun when it does, but you don't approach faith in God necessarily. You don't have to prove it with archaeology, right, Ray?
Well, archaeology for the last 200 years, you know, it's been an emerging science, an emerging discipline. But the more they have dug, what they have dug up is evidence that substantiates exactly what the Bible says. You know, for years they said there was nobody really named Pontius Pilate. They never found his name anywhere. Then they dug up that inscription, which you can see a replica of when you go to Caesarea Maritima, right there on the Mediterranean Sea, that there really was a man named Pontius Pilate. He really was the procurator. We could call him the governor of Judea in the days of Jesus, in the days of the Apostle Paul. The whole tenor of archaeology has not been to disprove the Bible, but to provide evidence that what the Bible says is really true.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Today's Issues. We're just about out of time. We got a couple minutes, Steph.
Well, let's go look at our favorite news site.
Okay.
This would be news you can trust to be very satirical. This is the Babylon Bee, which is announcing, by the way, that there's a break in ICE Roundup, the ICE Roundup. Trump has declared the White House ICE-free until construction on the new ballroom is done. So they won't be using ICE agents to...
to do the construction work?
Yes, yeah. And
that's
and,
bad. That is bad.
Now, I think it means...
Bad joke.
There might be workers.
Right, who are there who aren't necessarily here legally?
That's what I think that's saying. Yes.
In other news, the Louvre has announced that they've installed a Ring door camera. They needed that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
How in the world did that happen? They pull up in a truck, and it's got one of those...
A ladder?
Lifts on it.
Yeah.
Not exactly Ocean's 11.
No.
It was 8 minutes. From the time they arrived to the time they left, it was 8 minutes.
It was better than Ocean's 11.
But they're saying that it had to be there was a lot of amateur mistakes that they made.
Well, they got away with it.
They got away with it. That's right.
They might have made some mistakes, but they did a pretty good job there in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What we're talking about, if you don't know, folks, the Louvre, the famous museum in... No, is it the Louvre, right?
Louvre Museum.
Yeah, where the Mona Lisa is. Yeah.
It is where the...
Uh-huh. And they had a heist over there a few days ago where some guys went in the building, got inside the building, and got away with jewels.
Crown jewels from the French history.
Yeah.
And the room was right next door to the room that houses the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and they got away with it, at least so far.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Like Ed said, you don't sell that at a pawn store, you know.
Or Facebook Marketplace.
The Versailles pawn store. I don't think that's going to get it. But anyway. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Fred and Ray and Adam Suddeth, our producer. And we appreciate you for listening to the program today. And we shall. It's Trivia Friday tomorrow. So we'll have some education and some learning. And Ed and JJ will be here with me. We'll see you back here then.